Okay, so we are holding on Kuf Yud Ches Amud Beis, seven lines from the bottom. The end of the line begins Alei Leduchan. Kuf Yud Ches Amud Beis, seven lines from the bottom, yeah. Okay, we learned yesterday about Rav Yossi, a number of different things. We started with, we were talking about the Sodas of Shabbos, so we said that Rav Yossi had said, Yehei Chelki Me'ich L'Sholosh Sodas of Shabbos, my portion should be in Gan Eden, or whatever, among those who eat three meals on Shabbos. We talked about a bunch of other good things that Rav Yossi did, a bunch of his other Hanhogas. So now, continuing on that topic. Yeah, I mean, we said you had the Chachamim and you had Reb Chivka. B'Pashtus he goes according to the Chachamim, that three. Okay, so some more on that. Now we're going to have various Amoraim, who say, the first one of them actually is about Sholosh Sodas, who talk about the good things they did, one of them being eating Sholosh Sodas. Amar Rav Nachman, Tasi li dekaimis gimel sudas for Shabbos. There should come to me, literally the word Tasi means there should come to me, but Rashi on the next Amar translates it, Yeshulam Schori, may my reward be paid by Hashem for the fact that it was Mekayim three sudas on Shabbos. So similar to Rabbi Yossi, he would say, Yehei Chelki me'ichli gimel sudas. One idea is, The Chidah brings, that apparently goes all the way back to Rashi and maybe even earlier, that Rav had 10 good midos, 10 particular things that he was careful with, and his various Talmidim, each one of them took up one of those things and specialized in it. We know that a person has to keep all the mitzvahs, but on the other hand, there's a concept that a person should sort of specialize in one mitzvah and make that like that's their own mitzvah that they're particularly careful in, as we're going to have in a second about the B'mai Zohar Tvei. So a number of the Amoraim over here are mentioning various things that they did. So it's not like, for example, only Rav Nachman ate three sodas on Shabbos and nobody else did, but that was his particular mitzvah that he was extra careful with. Amar Rav Yehuda, and you have to ask, what do you mean they're asking for reward from Hashem? What happened to Jalti Yukavadim Amashamshin Sadava Manasla Kava Pras? So the vort is, they're not asking so much for schar, they're asking that they should have, that Hashem should give them the ability, the koyach, to continue doing the same mitzvah in the future, right? Amar Rav Yehuda, Tasi li dekaimis iyun tefillah. Rav Yehuda says, there should come a reward to me because I was mekayim iyun tefillah, I had kavana during davening. Tosfos points out sometimes the word iyun tefillah has a positive sense. It means kavana and davening. Sometimes it has a negative sense, like when the person, we're in brachas, we talked about that there are things that bring a person to ke'ev lev, to heartache, which one of them being iyun tefillah. That's when the person is saying, oh, I daven so well, Hashem has to answer my tefillah. Where that may lead him to disappointment, because Hashem has his own cheshbonus about what he's going to answer and when he's going to answer. So Rabbi Yehuda is saying he did it in the positive sense. There should come a reward to me. I never walked four amos without my head covered. So either it means that in those times it wasn't so common. You have different Rishonim talk about. Does this mean that in their times, in general, people did not cover their heads, and just there was a midas chassidus to cover your head to wear a yarmulke, and he's saying that he kept that midas chassidus? In that case, then nowadays, there's the question, is it still only midas chassidus, or do we say, for example, that some of the poskim say that nowadays it's chukas hagoyim to go bareheaded, then a yid has to wear a yarmulke, otherwise he's following in the ways of the goyim. So anyway, all that's one way of looking at it. The other possibility is maybe everybody, maybe all Jews in those times kept their heads covered. And what do you mean? Gilei Arosh, he means without a second covering, like we wear a hat. Okay. Rav Sheshes tasteily to kindness mitzvah tefillin. Rav Sheshes says there should come a reward to me that I kept the mitzvah of tefillin. Now, obviously, it doesn't just mean that he put on tefillin every day. There's no that's the bare minimum that's expected of a yid. It means Rashi says he didn't go four amos without having tefillin on him. But Rav Nachman tasteily to kindness mitzvah tzitzis. Rav Nachman similarly says that there should come a reward to me because I kept the mitzvah of tzitzis. Again, not that he just wore tzitzis, there's no chiddush in that, but that he would never go even four amos without tzitzis on him. Okay. Amalei Rabbi Yosef, or Rabbi Yosef Brei D'Rabba, Rabbi Yosef one time asked his namesake, also Rabbi Yosef, but this second Rabbi Yosef was the son of Rabba. Rabba, of course, was Rabbi Yosef's colleague. He passed away a few years before him, so at some point Rabbi Yosef was asking Rabba's son. He asked him, Avucha b'mai haba zohir tfei, with which mitzvah was your father particularly careful? Amalei b'tzitzis, and he says, with tzitzis, as we just said about Rav Nachman. For example, Yom Echad have a kasolik b'darga, one day Rabbah was walking up the stairs or up a ladder, ifsik lechuta, one of the strings of his tzitzis broke, v'lein nochis v'osa, he wouldn't come down off the ladder, kamadalei ramye, until he had fixed it and put on new strings. So we see how careful he was with the mitzvah of tzitzis, that he's willing to just stand there on the ladder and until he can fix his tzitzis and continue going. Either he carried spare ones with him, or he called for somebody to bring him to bring him extra ones. And yeah, this expression of Ruchav Mayhav is Zahir Tfei is brought in a number of places in the Chassidus, including Hayom Yom, and in other places the word Zahir, besides that it means careful, also means to shine. So it also means, which mitzvah did your father's neshama most shine when he was doing? And the answer is the mitzvah of tzitzis. Because again, there's the idea, every year has to keep all Taryag mitzvahs, but every person has a certain personal affinity in their neshama for a particular mitzvah. They specialize in that one, they make sure that one more than any other one, that they're Mekayim extra behidur and so forth. Yeah. Okay. Going back to the Tesi Lees, where Amar Abaye, Tesi Lee, the Chazina Tzurvim in Abonon, the Sholim Masechde, Abaye, who was a Rosh Hashiva, says, if I see one of the young Tamid HaChamim in the Yeshiva that has finished a Masechta, even though everybody else didn't, Avidna Yom Tov, and Abonon, I would make a Yom Tov, I would make a Siyum party for the Tamidim, for all the HaChamim of the Yeshiva. This is where we get the concept of making a, this is one of the places where we get the concept of making a siyum when a person finishes a masechta and everybody else participates. Amar Rava Tesili, the ki oset tzurvim in abonim lakamoy ledina, if a young Talmid Chacham comes to me, says Rava, for a din Torah, loyma zigna reshe abesadya, I will not put my head down on my pillow to go to sleep that night, kamadloim before I start thinking over and see whether there's any schus for him, whether there's anything in what he's saying to be mezach to him. Meaning, because Rava is taking the view that after all, he being a tzurva min abonon, a tamid chacham, it's very unlikely that he's just out and out lying. It's more likely that there was an honest mistake of some kind over here. Let's say, for example, so somebody else is taking the tzurva min abonon to a din Torah, saying, you owe me X amount of money. Rava is saying, I assume that the young tamid chacham, the tzurva min abonon, it's not that he knows he owes this money and is deliberately not paying it, which would be loy v'rosha, v'lo yishalom, or whatever. It means, could be he forgot about it. Could be he was under the impression that it wasn't a loan, etc. So Rava is saying, before I go to bed that night, I'll always think it over and see if there's any way that I can find to say that this guy is not that this guy made an honest mistake, let's say, or whatever. Yeah. Mabravashi says in this connection even more so. Actually, if a tzurva min abonon, if a young Talmid Chacham comes to me for a din Torah, I would passel myself, I would recuse myself and have somebody else judge it. My Talmid Chaviv alike gufoy, because the Talmid Chacham is as dear and precious to me as my own guf, as myself. We know a person can't see, never sees their own derogatory elements, anything against them. So therefore, Ma'abar Rav Ashi says, I'm the same way with a young Talmid Chacham, where I wouldn't be able to see anything against him. And after all, a dayan has to be objective. So I can't do that. I can't be objective when it comes to that. So it's tzurva min abonon. So therefore, I'll just recuse myself from the din Torah, he says. Getting back to honoring Shabbos, the Gemara says, Rav Chanina mi'ata fakor yapanya d'mali shabza. Rav Chanina would wrap himself up. Rashi says in nice clothes. The Rambam says specifically it means in clothes that have tzitzis on them, and he would stand there apanya d'mali shabza in the evening as Shabbos is coming in. Omer, and he would say, "Boyu v'netzi lekras Shabbos amalka. Come, let's go out to greet the Queen Shabbos." And this is what we say in the Chadariya. Rabbi Yannai Lobishmone, Male Shabbos. Rabbi Yannai would put on his nice clothes on Erev Shabbos as it was coming close to Shabbos. But Omer, and he would say, Boy Kala, Boy Kala. He would say, Come Kala, representing Shabbos. He would call Shabbos the Kala because it's so dear. And Marsha points out, you have the famous Medrash that says, where Shabbos says to Hashem, all the other days of the week have a partner. Sunday goes with Monday, Tuesday goes with Wednesday, etc., and I'm the odd one out, and Hashem says the Jewish people will be your partner. So Shabbos is like a kala to the Jewish people, and therefore we invite her like we invite a kala. Maharsha Sharp points, you have this gemara also in Bava Kamma. Maharsha Sharp points out over there that you have noticed the difference where Rav Chanina goes out to greet Shabbos, and Rav Yannai stands in his place waiting for Shabbos to come to him, so to speak, like a kala coming to a chassan. In Lachadodi, we do both. We say Boi Kala, Boi, we turn around to the west, which is the direction, so to speak, that Shabbos is coming from, because this is the Shabbos comes in when the sun sets in the west. So therefore, we turn towards the west. And so actually, so you have different menhagim in places where the shuls face a different direction other than east. You have different menhagim. Do you face towards the door, whatever direction that is? Usually it's the opposite side of the Aron Kodesh, or do you dafka face west no matter what? Because Shabbos comes from the west. Anyway, and we say at the end of it, we say, Boi Kala, Boi Kala, Boi Kala, Shabbos Malkasa, and we bow like you bow when you're greeting a king or a queen. So that way we're kind of yotze both of them. We're going out to greet Shabbos, but we're also standing there and bowing and asking Shabbos to come to us. So generally, we're diving towards the east, because that's the direction of Yerushalayim, to where Shabbos comes in, so to speak. Yeah. Right. The Arizal used to actually go out to the fields with his Talmidim, much like we're saying over here that Rav Chanina would go out. Yeah. Okay. Rabba Bar Rav Huna ikla lebe Rabba Bar Rav Nachman. Rabba Bar Rav Huna one time visited the house of Rabba Bar Rav Nachman. Krivole tlos sovi tachye. They brought in front of him three saw of wafers or thin breads that was that was smeared with fat or with oil or something. It was like a very high quality kind of bread. Like you have nowadays, like the chalas are smeared with egg, so you have these were smeared with oil or fat or something like that to make them taste extra better, and they brought in front of him three saw of that. Amr lehu, so he says to Rav Barav Nachman, mi habayad inun dasina, did you know that I was coming, that you prepared all that food? And they answered, "Miyadifas lamina. Do you think that you're more choshuv to us than Shabbos? We actually prepared them, the covered Shabbos. We didn't know. As it is, you're coming, so gizunta hate. You can have some of it. But actually, we made it the covered Shabbos." One interesting point that one of the Mephoshim makes is, in general, you have a halacha, you're not allowed to make fleshik bread or milchik bread, because you may come to eat it with the opposite thing. So part of the question was over here, not just how you have so much bread, but how are you making it with this fat or whatever on it, where it becomes fleishiks. And the answer is basically, if you're making it l'kavod Shabbos, and therefore you're making it a different shape, then it's mutter. In fact, that's one reason why the challahs on Shabbos are made in a different shape. That way you have a heter to make them fleishik if you want. And very commonly, of course, if you're baking them in a fleishik oven, then you wouldn't be able to eat them with milchik. But that's why you the minute is to make them braided or some other shape different than the weekday, and that way you remember that if they got that way you remember what it is. That's something else as far as mukta. That's as far as the dinner of mukta if you have your Shabbos candles on the table. No, not so. So normally bread is supposed to be made parv, yeah. Okay. Rab Abba's more about Amoraim and how they honored Shabbos. Rab Abba's Zoban Betleiser Istiri Pshite Bisra Betleiser Tabri. Rab Abba would buy for 13 istiras, and istira is a small coin. Rashi defines it one eighth of a selatzuri. Whatever. So he would buy with 13 coin, the place of istiri pshiti, with 13 plain istiras, which are a small coin. Bisra, he would buy meat with Betleiser Tabri from 13 different butchers in town, because he wanted to make sure to get the best quality. Umashlam lehu atzinurde de dasha, he would bring the money by the door, which means Rashi says to va'amalahu ashuhaya, and he would tell them be strong and hurry up. Rashi has two explanations. One, the first explanation is that before they came, he would bring the money to the door, to their stores, and he would tell them, be strong and be quick to do and quickly do and then cut up all the meat that you need for Shabbos. So in other words, like he's making sure they have the money right away so they can bring them the meat right away and encouraging them about the importance of hurrying up and preparing for Shabbos. That's the first explanation. Then Rashi prefers a different explanation, that when the first person would bring, when the first butcher or his delivery person, whatever, would bring the first piece of meat, Rav Abba would stand there by the door, immediately pay them, and then just hand the meat to the people inside and not even go back inside. He'd be running off to go to the next store to get, he'd be running off to the next store to get the next piece of meat, and he would tell the people in his house, Asher Haya, be strong and be quick. Prepare this one while I'm going to get the next one. So either way, the point is, in other words, he wanted to honor Shabbos in the best possible way. He wanted to honor Shabbos in, oh, good morning, Yaakov, I didn't realize you're doing. He wanted to honor Shabbos in the best possible way, so that's why he was buying meat from as many butchers as possible. And like this, he's encouraging the butchers or the members of his household to be quick and be strong in preparing for Shabbos. Rabbi Bohu have a Yosef Atataka Deshina. Rabbi Bohu on Erev Shabbos would sit on an ivory chair, showing him because he was very rich, Umoshif Nura, and he would blow on the fire to make it larger so they can cook for Shabbos. So normally blowing on the fire like that is something that you'd have like a simple servant do or whatever, but Rabbi Bohu would do it Dafka Lakovid Shabbos. Well, like you use a fan or you blow with your mouth or whatever it is. The point is that the point is he would do it himself. On the other hand, he's sitting on a nice chair, which is also part of the covet of Shabbos, to show that even though he's rich and even though he can afford ivory furniture or whatever, he's still doing this himself. Rav Onan Lovish Gunda, Rav Onan, when he was preparing for Shabbos, would wear black clothes. The Tana Dvei Rabbi Shmuel, as we learned this in the previous parak, that the Tana Dvei Rabbi Shmuel, begodim shebishal ben kedei l'rabbi, the same clothes that you use to cook a pot of food for your master, al yimzik ben kos l'rabbi, you shouldn't wear those same clothes when you're pouring a cup for your master. And in fact, Marsha had said over there that actually refers to, among other things, preparing for Shabbos versus Shabbos itself. Shabbos itself when you're making Kiddush and pouring the cup versus Friday afternoon when you're cooking and doing other preparations for Shabbos. So the point is, in other words, Rav Onan would dafka wear black, not such nice clothes. So that way, later on, he's changing into Shabbos clothes and showing this way. Today is not a day. Rashi says, today is not a day to act like an important person. Instead, I'm going to be doing the cooking. And in order not to get my clothes dirty, I'll wear black clothes, and that way if something gets on them, then it doesn't make much of a difference because they're black anyway. There is an explanation by one of the Achronim in the back of the Gemara that says that actually it means that Rav Onan is actually disagreeing with Rabbi Bohu. Rabbi Bohu is sitting on an ivory chair. Rav Onan is saying, no, there's no business sitting on ivory chairs or using other fancy things like that when you're preparing for Shabbos. Use the simple clothes and whatever when you're preparing for Shabbos. Later on, you can be sitting on the ivory chair l'kavod Shabbos. Okay. Rav Safra Machrich Resha, Rav Safra would, when there was a head of an animal available to eat for Shabbos, he would singe the hair off it so they can cook it. Rava Molach Shibuta, Rava would salt the Shibuta fish, which is a type of fish that they had in Bavel. Rav Huna Madlik Shragi, Rav Huna would light the candles. Now, obviously, usually it's the woman in the house that lights candles. So Rav Yaakov Emden says, okay, it means, let's say, for example, Rav Yaakov Emden actually says, it means, okay, let's say if his wife was out of town or had given birth or whatever, so then he would light the Shabbos candles instead of just giving it to one of the Shamashim or whatever to do. But the Marashal says that what it means is, because you have, you know, nowadays, you turn on the lights in the house and then you have Shabbos candles. But in those times, of course, you had to have candles and lamps all over the house in order to be able to see. So his wife would light the actual Shabbos candles, but Rav Huna would light a bunch of other ones around the house so they have light for Shabbos. Rav Papa Godop Silta, Rav Papa would twist wicks himself for the Shabbos candles. Rav Chista Parim Silka, Rav Chista would cut up silka, which is beets or spinach or whatever, into small pieces to eat on Shabbos. Rabbi Rav Yosef Matzlachit Zivi, Rabbi and Rav Yosef would chop wood for Shabbos. Rav Zera Matzas Satuti, Rav Zera would light the fire using little pieces of wood himself, l'kavod Shabbos. Rav Nachman Yitzchak Makatef for oil, Makatef for nothing. Rav Nachman Yitzchak would carry things in and out. He'd be bringing in, or Rashi says he'd be bringing in all kinds of furniture and nice clothing and nice decorations and things like you would do for Shabbos. And Shulchan Aruch, it says also, sometimes you have weekday things in your house that have to be cleared out of the way, and then you bring in the Shabbos furniture and the Shabbos stuff and whatever. So that's also included in this. Amar, and he used to say, Ilu Mikle and Li Rab Ami Rab Asi, if Rab Ami and Rab Asi, who were the Chosh of Rosh Yeshiva in Eretz Yisrael in his times, if they were to visit me, Milo Makasfina Kamaihu, wouldn't I be carrying things in and out of the house to prepare the house for them? So about the same token, I should be doing no less Lekavod Shabbos. The Ikadamri, a different version of it goes, Rab Ami and Rab Asi, the Kafri Vaile, the Kafri Vanaki. That's Rab Ami and Rab Asi themselves who would do the same thing, carry in and out things for Shabbos. Amri, and they said, Ilu Ikol on Rabbi Yechanan, if Rabbi Yechanan, who was their Rebbe, visited us, Miloy Makatrinin Kame, wouldn't we carry burdens in order to prepare for him? So the same way we should be doing Lekavod Shabbos. So we see that all these Amiroyim would do things themselves, Lekavod Shabbos, even though the Rambam points out many of them had many servants and whatever, but still they would do it themselves. The Alter Rebbe points out a very fascinating idea in a Kuntres Achron, in Simon Reish Nun talks about this idea that a person should be personally involved in the Shabbos preparations, and the Alter Rebbe mentions a very interesting point in a Kuntres Achron over there. Now, you have two different issues. There's the fact that Lekavod Shabbos, you should be doing things yourself, and there's also the idea, which the Gemara mentions in Kiddushin, mitzvah boy yosef b'shlochay. That's a mitzvah to do things that, in general, with mitzvahs, it's a mitzvah to do them yourself more so than to designate a shliach to do it, which applies more generally to all mitzvahs, not just the Shabbos. So the Alter Rebbe explains, most of these Amiroyim were saying there was one particular thing in their house that needed to be done for Shabbos, and they themselves would do that. That's not a matter of mitzvah boy yosef b'shlochay. That's a matter of to show that they're doing something themselves for Shabbos. Rava and Rav Safra, now that Gemara in Kiddushin, when it talks about mitzvah bo yosef b'shlochay, of all these Amiroyim, it mentions only Rava and Rav Safra, only what they used to do. Why? The Alter Rebbe says, because with them it was something special. They had other things they would do around their house to cover Shabbos. But in addition, if there was a shibuta that week, or if there was a head of an animal that week, then they would prepare it themselves, because that was their favorite food for Shabbos, and therefore, so they wanted to be davka involved in preparing that. So that's why the Gemara stresses that by them you see not only the concept of preparing by yourself for Shabbos, but also the concept of mitzvah v'yosef mishlochay, because dafka Rava and Rav Safra, we find that. All the other ones are things that had to be done every week. Every week candles have to be lit, every week wicks have to be made, every week firewood has to be chopped, etc. But only when there was a head of an animal, which is not necessarily every week, or when there was a shibuta fish, only then did they do an additional thing and prepare that as well on the grounds of mitzvah bo yosef mishlochay. So we had actually, there's a Gemara in Beitza that says that Shammai would do something similar with animals, that if he found a nice one on Sunday, then he would designate it for Shabbos, and then if he found a nicer one during the week, then he would designate that one for Shabbos and eat the first one during the week, yeah. Okay. The Gemara tells a famous story, Yosef Moker Shabbi Haba, Yosef Moker Shabbi, Yosef who used to honor Shabbos, Haba who Nochri B'Shiva will say, there was a goy living in his neighborhood, to have an efficient Nichsetuva who had a lot of property, a lot of wealth. Amri le Kaldoi, one time the Kaldoi means Chaldeans, which means like Castim, but it means in particular astrologers, because that nation was an expert in astrology. So one time the Kaldoi, the astrologers told him, Kulu nichsi Yosef Moker Shabbi Ochalahu, all of your possessions are going to end up being taken over and eaten by Yosef Moker Shabbos. Ozel, the guy didn't want that. Ozel Zavninu Lekulin Nichsi. He went and sold all of his possessions. Zabin Buhu Magunisi. He went and bought a jewel with it. Oisra Besaine. He set it into his hat. So Rashi describes his hat had various jewels in it, and all in gold settings or whatever. So he put this particular diamond to get this particular jewel or whatever together with them in his hat. Bahadi Ka'ova Mabra, one time he was crossing a bridge, Afrechezika, a wind blew his hat off, Shadi Bamaya, and knocked the hat into the water, Balei Kavra, a fish ate up the hat, a fish swallowed the hat, Kavra means a fish. No, Sine means a hat. What? Bala means swallowed, Kavra means a fish. Balei Kavra, a fish swallowed it. Yeah. Askua, they caught that fish. Isua Apanya de Male Shabza, they brought it to the market late in the afternoon on Erev Shabbos. Amri, and they said to them, the fishermen said to themselves, Man Zovin Kiashta, who's going to bother buying fish now so close to Shabbos? Amri Lahu, so they told them, Zilu Amtiyu Lagaba Yosef Moker Shabbi, go bring it to Yosef Moker Shabbos, the Ruggle the Zobin, he always buys things, and even if he already has fish for Shabbos, he'll buy this one because it's a really nice one, and he'll honor Shabbos extra with it. Amtiyur Nirle, so they brought the fish to him. Zavne, so Yosef Moshe Shabbos bought it. Kare, he cut open the fish. Ashkach Ben Maganissi, he found the jewel inside it. Zavne B'Tleisu, he listed the dinri, he was able to sell it for 13. He was able to sell it for 13 attics full of gold dinars. Rashi says it's a guzma. It doesn't literally mean 13 attics full of gold dinars. It just means a huge amount of money. Tosfos says that actually maybe not. Elisa actually can mean a container. So in that case, not necessarily a guzma. 13 containers of dinarim is not a ridiculous amount of money. Marshaw talks about over here, and also he mentions for earlier on the Amud when we said Rav Abba would buy from 13 different butchers, that 13 is a number that's associated with Kedusha in a lot of places. 13 is the age when a person becomes chayiv, when a boy becomes chayiv in mitzvahs, 13 midas of Hashem, 13 midas that the Torah is shatar and adreshes for him, etc. So therefore, 13, in the case of Rav Abba, where he's buying from 13 different butchers, doesn't just mean because there's a lot of butchers in town and he wants to buy from the best quality. And the same thing, Yosef Moshe Shabbos, it's not just that it happens to be 13. It represents that they recognize the special kedusha of Shabbos, and therefore Yosef Moshe Shabbos, for example, Marshall says, would actually in general prepare things for Shabbos in 13s to represent the Achdus of Hashem. 13 is the gematria echad and the kedusha of Shabbos and so forth. And he was rewarded with 13 with 13 containers or 13 attics full of gold dinar. Well, yeah. Pogabei Ahusava, an old person met him, which may be Eliyahu Hanavi. Omar, he says to him, Mandi Yazif Shabbos Pare Shabbos. You should know, anybody who borrows on behalf of Shabbos, Shabbos will pay him back. So like all these years, Yosef had been laying out money for Shabbos, and now Hashem, so to speak, like paid back the loan all at once. Yeah. Okay. Bomine Rebbe may be Shmuel Ber Yosef. Rebbe asked Rabbi Shmuel ben Abayis, Ashirim Shabbat Yisrael b'mahein zoichin. The rich people in Eretz Yisrael, which of course included Rebbe himself, with what special mitzvah do they do that they're zoicha to their wealth? Amar Rebbe Shmuel Shema Asrin. He says because they're careful taking meiser from their produce. Shema Aser to Aser, and we know Aser b'shvil shetis Asher. Give meiser in order that you should become rich. In fact, we know the famous thing. You're even allowed to test Hashem with that. You're allowed to test Hashem, so to speak, saying that I'm giving Maaser and you have to keep your end of the bargain kind of thing. What about Shabbat Bovel B'mahin Zochin? So Rebbe asked him, what about in Bovel, where they don't have, on a Daraisa level at least, Maaser of produce? Now, you have the obvious question, so what about Maaser of money? You have that in Bovel just as well as you do anywhere else. So one way of looking at it is that maybe that's not an actual chiyuv. Maybe it's only a nice minhag, and therefore you can't say. What it is is the bracha of Asher, b'shvil shetis Asher. One way of looking at it, maybe that only applies to Maaser, which you chayev in Daraisa, namely Maaser of produce. Not necessarily would it apply to Maaser of money. Whether that itself is a chiyuv or whether it's a hanhaga tovah is a whole other question, but one way of looking at it is the Gemara is implying over here that you don't get the bracha of aser b'shvil shetis asher, for maaser of money. The other way of looking at it, in fact, the Torah and Shulchan Aruch say you do. So therefore, according to them, the Korban Nisanal explains the vote would be that fine. But nevertheless, it's only Dirabanan, or maybe it's only an Hanhaga Tova. So why would that get a person such a great bracha of wealth if it's not something that they're actually chayav in on a Daraisa level? So the answer is Amalei Bishvush Mechab Dinas HaTorah, because they honor the Torah, they honor the Tamar HaChamim that Babel has a lot of. What about, he asked him, what about in other countries where they don't have as many Tamar HaChamim for the rich people to be honoring? In what schus do they become and stay rich? Because they honor Shabbos. That's the connection to our sugya over here, because we're talking about honoring Shabbos. So these people are zoicha. These people are zoicha to their wealth, even though they don't have maaser to give on a daraisa level. There's no local Tamar HaChamim for them to honor and support, but they honor Shabbos, and in the schus of that, they become wealthy and stay wealthy. So first of all, we're not saying that all the Ashirim honored all the different Chachamim, and there's also differences in different times and in different places, but at least you have, sometimes you can have, obviously, a person can be rich, and, you know, you have Osher Shomer the Ball of the Rase, right? You have the case where it describes in the Pasuk where a person has riches and it ends up being to his detriment. So we're not talking about that. The pashtus, we're talking about the ones who use their money well and have a bracha in their money. So that's as a reward for giving meiser or honoring Shemot HaChamim or honoring Shabbos. And, you know, I mean, it could also be, you know, the ones in Eretz Yisrael, for example, since we're saying their main thing is giving meiser, maybe they didn't feel a need to honor and support the Shemot HaChamim that much. Because they figured they can get away with it. Okay, they're giving meiser, and that's good enough. They don't also need to support the Shemot HaChamim. I don't know. Okay, and we have an example. The Amr of Chir Ba'aba, Pam Achas Nitzarachti Eitzah Balabayis B'Ludgia. One time, Rav Chir Ba'aba says, I was a guest by a certain Balabayis in Ludgia, which is a city nowadays, it's in Turkey, so it's not in Eretz Yisrael, it's not in Babel. And they view the front of Shulchan Shulzav Masu Shisha Asib Ne'adam. They brought in front of him a gold table that it took 16 people to carry. V'sheish Esrei Shalshalois Shokesef Kvorsboi. There were 16 silver chains attached to it that they would use to pick it up with. Marsha talks about an idea of Pnimis Enyan, and he says that there's a certain bad malach that has like 16 faces, so to speak, and therefore the 16 people carrying the table and the 16 silver chains are meant to counteract that. Attached to this table were plates and cups and jugs and pitchers were all attached to the table. All of Komin and Michael, the Komin and Megodim of Samim, on that table there was all kinds of food and all kinds of delicacies and spices. When they put down the table, they would announce Lashema Otzim Loya, the whole world and everything in it belongs to Hashem. So he realizes that everything that he has belongs to Hashem, which means also Rashi says, as the Gemara says in Brachas, we're not allowed to have any hana from this food or anything that's on this table or anything in Olam Hazeh until we make a bracha. When they take away the table, then they would say the heavens belong to Hashem, but the earth belongs to people, meaning Hashem gave us the present, and we were able to enjoy what's on this table. Marsha says a little bit differently. What it means is, the big table is not what they would eat off of. In the times of the Gemara, we find in many places in Shas, they would eat off small tables that were in front of each person individually. This table was basically just a serving table. So they would bring in the table, and they would say Hashem Oretzim Loya. Then the Balabayas would say the bracha on bread. And after you make the bracha on bread, then at that point, as the Gemara says in Brachas, now at that point it's V'ha'aretz Nasam L'bnei Adam, because now having made a bracha, we have the right to enjoy things of Olam Hazeh. And then they would take away when they're taking away the table, meaning after they made a motzi, and now they're getting ready to serve the people individually. That's when they would say the pasuk V'ha'aretz Nasam L'bnei Adam. Yeah, like you have on Pesach. Yeah, exactly. Masalka Nesakaira literally means you take away each person's individual table, right? Okay. Amarti loy, sort of, Chir Ba'aba says, I asked this Balabas, B'ni B'mezach Yisalakach, what was your zchus that you were zaycha for this? Amalei Katzava, you see. He says, I used to be a butcher, and we called Behema. So he said, no, every animal that was nice, Amarti Zuta Hela Shabbos, I said there should be something from it for Shabbos. Like he would reserve a piece of meat from it, sort of like what Shammai did, like we said before. So he would reserve a piece of meat from that animal for Shabbos. Amarti loy, so Rav Chir Ba'aba says, I said to him, Ashrecha Shazachisa, happy are you that you were zaycha to that. Ubaruch HaMokam Shazik Kolakach, and blessed is Hashem who gave you the schus to be able to accomplish this. Why the double loshen? Ben Yehoyada says, it's saying one of them that you, Ashrecha Shazachisa, when you were a butcher, that you had that schus, and Ubaruch HaMokam Shazik Kolakach, and blessed is Hashem, who now, when you're rich, is giving you the ability to show such covered for Shabbos. Amalek case of Rabbi Shlomo ben Hananya, the emperor, the Roman emperor, one time says to Rabbi Shlomo ben Hananya, why do the cooked dishes for Shabbos smell so good? Reiche noidif literally means that their smell dissipate. Noidif means like dissipates like throughout the air, like you can smell it all over. Why is that? We have a certain spice named Shabbos. We put it into the food, and that makes it smell very good. So the emperor says, so give me some of it. He says, doesn't work. Call him a Shabbos, a Shabbos, anybody who keeps Shabbos, it helps for him. If you don't keep Shabbos, it doesn't help you. Marsha and a couple of other Mefarshim point out that there's kind of a play on words over here. There is an actual spice called Shabbos or Sheves. In English, it's translated as anise. You have, for example, if you ever tasted arak, it's flavored with anise. It's flavored with this spice, and it's called in Hebrew Shabbos or Sheves or whatever. So Rabbi Yeshua, when the emperor first asked him why does your food smell so good, so he mentions Shabbos or Sheves, and the emperor misunderstands and thinks he means the actual spice. Or maybe Rabbi Yeshua meant as a play on words, he made it sound like he's referring to the actual spice. And then when the emperor asks him, then he explains to him that, no, I'm not talking about the physical spice, Sheves, I'm talking about the ruchniistic spice of Shabbos. Yeah. Okay. Now, we started quoting yesterday the pasuk. We say it in Shabbos morning Kiddush. Im toshiv b'Shabbos v'karosel Shabbos oneg, v'karosel Shabbos oneg. You should make Shabbos a delight, and that we were saying it teaches us the idea about that you have to make Shabbos delightful with good food and whatever, and that led us into this whole sugya. So now the Reish Galusa asks Rav Hamnuna, what does the mean, the continuation of the pasuk, L'kdosh Hashem Mechobad, the Holy One of Hashem, you should make honored. The Karasal Shabbos Oneg is referring to Shabbos. So L'kdosh Hashem Mechobad has to be referring to something else. What is the something else? Amalei, Zeh Yem HaKippurim, She'en Be'lo Yachil of Loshtia, it refers to Yom Kippur. There's no eating and there's no drinking on Yom Kippur, so therefore you can't be honoring Yom Kippur like you would Shabbos with good food and drink. So therefore the Torah says mechubad, make it honorable by wearing clean clothing, because that's and also it says in Shulchan Aruch for the same reason you should also have your table. You're not going to set the table with dishes for Yom Kippur because you're not eating, but you should at least have a white tablecloth on it and so forth. So all this in Bechlau, you have the minhag of wearing white clothes and of wearing a kittel and having a white paroichas and on the oren and all of that is based on this idea of l'kdosh Hashem mechubad, that you're showing the Holy One of Hashem, meaning Yom Kippur, you're honoring it with, since you can't honor it with food and drink, then you honor it with nice clothing. The pasuk continues, v'chibadoi, you should honor it. Now that has to be referring to Shabbos, because we just said by Yom Kippur, l'kdosh Hashem mechobod. So if v'chibadoi was still referring to Yom Kippur, then it would be repetitious. So what does v'chibadoi add? Now we learned before in the previous perek that we said that v'chibadoi can mean to wear nice clothing on Shabbos as well, because we said Rav Yochanan would call his clothes v'chabdusai, but now we're going according to a different opinion. Rav amala achdim or Shmuel amala acher. Rav says it means you should eat your Shabbos meal earlier than you would eat the same meal on weekdays, and that way it's covered Shabbos, like you're eager to eat the meal. Or Shmuel amala acher. Shmuel says that it means you eat it later than you usually would, and that way, like you work, that way you have more of an appetite to eat it. In fact, Tosfos says they're not really arguing. It depends on your circumstances, as the Gemara is going to continue. Amrule bnei Rapapa ba'aba l'Rapapa. Rapapa ba'aba and Rapapa are two different people. So the sons of Rapapa ba'aba, who was very rich, asked Rapapa, who was the Rosh Hashiva in their times, k'goinanan, what do we do? For example, us, the shchiach on bisra v'chamra kol yoma, we have plenty of meat and wine every day, but my nishnei, so how do we go about making our Shabbos meal different if every day we're eating good food like that? Amalahu, so he tells them, irigilisu lak dumi, if you usually eat your daytime meal right for earlier in the morning, acharua, then eat it later on Shabbos and in honor of Shabbos, like this way you have more of an appetite. Irigilisu lakrua, and if you usually eat it later, akdamua, then eat it earlier on Shabbos. So that itself shows covered Shabbos, even if you're eating the same foods as you do all week. Yeah. Okay. More on the importance of eating your Shabbos meal at the right time. Rav Sheshes was blind, so he couldn't see what time it was. So Bekaita, most of Lahula Rabbanon Hech the Matya Shimsha, in the summertime, he would have the Talmidim sit in a place that when it gets time to eat, then the sun will be shining over there. So this way they'll be uncomfortable because the summertime and the sun is beating down on them. The sitva during the winter time, most of the rabban and hech the matya chola. The other way around, he would have them sit in a place where it's going to be shady by the time the meal comes. Ki hech the lekumohaya. This way, they'll get up quickly and go to their Shabbos meal without delaying because they'll be uncomfortable. In other words, No, so that's the point. Well, because in other words, the point is you'd still have ones of them who want to sit and learn more. But like this, so actually, Marshall says a little bit differently. What it means is that we're not even talking about that he would plan ahead that they were going to be sitting in a place where they're going to be where it's going to be sunny or where it's going to be shady. To begin with, he would put them in a place where it's sunny or shady depending on the situation. And this way, they'll be less comfortable over there. And this way, he'll be able to keep his shear short, and they'll be able to go and eat their Shabbos meal without delay. Reb Zera, Mehader Azuzi Zuzi Dirabanan, Reb Zera would go around when he saw pairs of Tamar Chachamim sitting and learning B'chavrusa, he would go around among them, and Omelahu, and he would tell them, Matos Minaychu Loisa Chalolune, I beg of you, please don't be Mechal Shabbos, meaning, in other words, because after all, you do have Oneg Shabbos, you do have to eat, and then have your Gashmiistic pleasures on Shabbos as well. Make sure that you're not so focused on your learning that you're going to ignore that aspect of Shabbos as well. Even if an individual is davening by himself on Erev Shabbos on Friday night, he has to say Vayechulu. Now, on the one level, we're talking about the Vayechulu that we say in Friday night, Shemona Esrei, which actually the Torah brings an interesting point. Why, Taka, do we say that if we're anyway going to be saying it after davening? He says because what happens on, or the other way around, the question is why do we say it after davening if we said it already in Shemona Esrei? And a very interesting answer because what happens if Yom Tov comes out on Shabbos? Then you don't say Vayechulu in Shemona Esrei. So therefore, of necessity, then you have to say it after Shemona Esrei. So once the Chachamim made a takana to say it then you always say it after Shemona Esrei, even though on most Friday nights you also said it in Shemona Esrei. So either we're talking about over here the Vayechulu in Shemona Esrei, meaning even if a person is davening b'yichidus, not with a minion, he still has to say it in Shemona Esrei. Or it also means the Vayechulu that you say after Shemona Esrei. So why is it so important to say Vayechulu? The Amar of Amnon, call him a spala, but Erev Shabbos, or Oymer Vayechulu, if a person davens on Erev Shabbos and says Vayechulu, Mala, all of our Kosev, Kilu, Nasa, Shutta, Flakarash, Bochum, of Maisa, Bereshis. The Pasuk considers him as if he became a partner to Hashem in Maisa, Bereshis. Shenema Vayechulu, because it says Vayechulu, which means they were completed. Now, Al Tikri Vayechulu, don't read the word Vayechulu, they were completed, Ela Vayechalu, but rather they completed. Who's the they? It means Hashem, and so to speak, this person, together, helped complete the world. Now, why is that? One point is because Hashem created the world, but in order that it should be recognized, you need Edim to testify that Hashem created it. Well, then, when the person says Vayechulu, he's testifying to that, and therefore, like he's making it be firmly accomplished that Hashem actually did that. This is why we have the idea, the fact that it's Edus, is why we have the minhag to say it's standing, just like Edim stand in Beis Din, and this is why you should ideally have at least two people saying it together, again, because Edus is two people. Yeah. But we're saying that even if a Yochid is down, no, we do, and usually you have people say Vayechulu together. Well, but even if they're down in Mechidus, they often will have somebody say it with them, yeah. Okay. Where do we know that speaking is like a maisa? That speaking is like doing, and in this sense, in other words, when the person is speaking the words of Vayechulu, it's as if he actually helped create the world. Shenema b'dvar Hashem shemayim nasu, as the pasuk says, Hashem created the heavens and everything else with His word. So Hashem's word amounts to maisa. The Alter Rebbe talks about on the last page, we learned in the previous parak the importance of not speaking divrei chol on Shabbos. So one idea which I hadn't mentioned over there is Marashah says that's based on what we're saying over here in the Gemara. Just like Hashem created the world with His speech, so also we have to be careful with our speech on Shabbos that we're not talking dvarim b'teilim or matters of business or work or whatever. On the last page of Tanya, the Alter Rebbe talks about the same idea that Shabbos has a pnimius and a chitzonius. The chitzonius of it includes not doing the 39 malach. And the premise of it includes speaking on Shabbos about the things that you should and avoiding speaking about the things that you shouldn't. Now, what the Alter Rebbe says is actually there's a mitzvah saseh and there's a mitzvah lois saseh of Shabbos. There's the mitzvah saseh to rest and to enjoy Shabbos. There's the lois saseh not to do malacha. And each one of them has a pnimius and a chitzonius. The chitzonius of oneg Shabbos is all the good food and drink that we were talking about before. The pnimius of it is learning Torah on Shabbos. And as far as the lois saseh, the chitzonius is not doing the malachas and the pnimius is not speaking of mundane things on Shabbos. Yeah. Yeah. Omer of Chista, Omer Malacha, Kol HaMispalel B'Erev Shabbos, V'Omer V'Yecholu, person davens on Erev Shabbos and says V'Yecholu, Shnei Malachi Asharis HaMalavim Lelo Adam, what happens then is the two Malachim who are always accompanying a person, which we learned about them in Brachas, for example, that, for example, when you're going to the bathroom, you're actually supposed to be saying, that the Gemara mentions over there a line that you're supposed to be saying, asking them to leave you alone so you can go to the bathroom and then not come in with you. Nowadays, we don't say that because we don't have, we're not Muchsek, that we have Malachim accompanying us, but still, you have the concept, maybe on Shabbat, maybe it's different on Shabbos, a person has Malachim, we're going to have soon, the famous two Malachim that accompany a person home on Friday night, so it can be referring to them. There's another point that there can be shadim in the bathroom, but that's not what we're talking about. The Gemara had mentioned in Brachas that before you go to the bathroom, there's a line to say, Skabdu Mechabadim, honorable ones, Malachim, please leave me alone a minute because you don't know what it means to go to the bathroom, but human beings have to do it. So it's a Shulchan Aruch. We don't say that nowadays because we're not Muchzak that we have Malachim. But here we're talking about Shabbos, so it could be different. Anyway, so Shnei Malach Asheros Amalavim Lelod, Manichin Yidei and Arosh, they place their hands on his head, and they say to him, as the Pasuk says, V'sar Avaynecha, your Avera has gone away and your sin will be forgiven. What's the connection? Marsha says the idea is because when was Adam Arishin forgiven for the Chet? Adam Arishin ate from and Chava ate from the Chet, ate from the Eitz Hadas right before Shabbos began. Shabbos began there when their Avera was pardoned at least to a certain extent. Otherwise, they would have died on that day. In fact, Adam Arishin composed Mizmer Shili Yom HaShabbos to thank Hashem for that. That a person can do tshuva and be forgiven. So therefore, so the same way, when a person says Vayecholu, he's like recreating that first Ma'aseh B'Reishis, that first Friday of Ma'aseh B'Reishis, and therefore he's also forgiven. Different explanation that some Achronim say is like this: he would have had the Avera of not saying Eidos about Hashem Im Lo Yagid V'Nas Ha'Avonai, but now he's saying that Eidos, and therefore that Avera is taken away. Tanya, Rabbi Yosi Rabbi Yehuda, I'm a Shnei Malachi Asheris Malavin Lelo Odom Be'er Shabbos Meisach Nesis. Two Malachi Asheris accompany a person on Erev Shabbos home from Meisach Nesis LeBeisoy, from Shul to his house. I guess that could mean that earlier this year those Malachim were on vacation for a little bit because nobody was going to Shul. I don't know. Anyway, Echad Toiv Ve'Echad Ra, one good Malach and one bad Malach. So when the person comes home, he finds the candles are lit, the shulchan aruch, and the table is set, l'chavad Shabbos, and the beds are made up nicely, l'chavad Shabbos. Either it means the beds you sleep on, or it can also mean the couches that they reclined on to eat. Malach toiv oimi yihirotzen shnei l'shabbos acheres kach. The good Malach says yihirotzen that it should be this way next Shabbos as well. Malach ra oina omen bar kocher, and the bad Malach is forced to answer omen. Be'im lab, and if not, then it's the other way. When Malach ra oimi yihirotzen shnei l'shabbos acheres kach, yihirotzen that it should be this way, on a future Shabbos. Malach toiv oina omen bar kocher, and the good Malach is forced to answer omen. So one idea of this is, what are these two malachim? So one idea is they are the Yetzer Tov and the Yetzer Hara. So in general, we know when a person does a mitzvah, schar mitzvah, one meaning of it is that it makes it easier for him. It strengthens his Yetzer Tov and weakens his Yetzer Hara for the future, so that next time he'll be able to do the mitzvah just as well. So therefore, when he has everything is set up nicely for Shabbos, so now that strengthens that next week he'll taka be able to do it, and the Yetzer Hara, the Malach Ra, is forced to agree, and vice versa the other way around. The Avudraham brings a very interesting idea about it. We know the minhag not to make kiddush between 6 and 7 Friday night. Later on, we're going to have a discussion. About the mazolos that are in force during each hour of the day. It comes out mazol madim is the mazol in force the first hour going into Shabbos from 6 to 7. And therefore, it's not appropriate to be bringing in Shabbos at that time when Madim is associated with war and violence and whatever. So it's not an appropriate time. By the way, you have people who take the view that it means, okay, you can't use red wine because red is associated with Madim, but you can use white wine. That's not really correct. The minhag is not to do it on any kind of wine. On the other hand, the mazel before Madim, the last hour of Friday, is tzedek, which is a mazel associated with good. The Gemara in the last parak mentions it was the mazel of Avraham Avinu. So therefore, the Avudraham says the Malach Tov and Malach Ra represent, symbolize these two Mazolos and the Malachim, and the Malachim that go with them. So you have like the Malach Tov of Tzedek and the Malach Ra of Madim are coming in, and you want to make sure that you're more on the Tzedek side than on the Madim side. But that's the idea of not making Kiddush during the time of Madim. So we either make it earlier or we make it later. Okay. A person should always set up his table on Erev Shabbos for the Friday night meal, even if all he's able to eat is a kazayas of food. Let's say, for example, now you're not supposed to eat a lot. Well, it could be because he's poor. It could also be because, for example, he ate too much on Erev Shabbos. He wasn't supposed to, but let's say he did. So even if he only needs a kazayas of food, nevertheless, he should set the whole table. He should set the table for as if for a banquet, a covered Shabbos. Similarly, Rav Chanina says a person should always set up his table for a meal on Motzei Shabbos for Malav Malka. Again, even if he can only eat a kazayas of food, but Malav Malka is an important thing. There's actually a sicha, I think, in Chavav, where the Rebbe talks about the where does Malav Malka come from. He says, because when you get down to it, the mon fell every morning, and it means that, therefore, each night, the mon that you're eating is from the mon that fell that morning. Since on Shabbos, the mon didn't fall, and they had a double portion on Erev Shabbos, and the next time after Erev Shabbos, the mon is falling is Sunday morning, it means that the mon they're eating, Motzei Shabbos, for their meal before they go to bed that night, is from the mon that fell specifically for Shabbos. So that's the importance of a Malav Malka, is it's, even though it's after Shabbos already, but it's from the food that was prepared for Shabbos. So the Gemara says in this connection, Chamin b'Motzei Shabbos Malugma, hot drinking a hot drink on Motzei Shabbos is a healing, as a refuah. Pas Chamin b'Motzei Shabbos Malugma, also hot bread on Motzei Shabbos is also a healing. One point of it is because these are things that you can't have on Shabbos itself. So al derech, like just like you have, we make a bracha on the on the flame on Motzei Shabbos, and part of that is because it's a new thing. We couldn't have it on Shabbos because we can't strike a match on Shabbos. What we can have it on Motzei Shabbos the same way you can't usually have hot water or hot bread on Shabbos because how are you going to? You can't cook and bake on Shabbos. But like this, you enjoy them the first thing Motzei Shabbos, and it also shows a certain covered for Shabbos. They bring something from Reb Zusha Anipolo when we say in davening in Tillim umechabish latzvoisem that Hashem binds up their wounds. The word mechabish is an abbreviation for chamin b'mitzoy Shabbos malugma. If you rearrange the letters, and latzvoisem also means asfus, depression. So it's a way to get rid of a person's depression is make sure that he has chamin on mitzoy Shabbos. In this connection, the Gemara says, Rabbi Bohu havo avdin leba apuki shabsa egla tilsa. Rabbi Bohu, on Motzei Shabbos, they would always prepare for him from a lava malka an egla tilsa, which means a calf that's one third grown, or a calf that's born third from its mother. Either way, it was the best quality meat. Havo ochem in a kul yosa. Now, on Shabbos, he had eaten a lot. So on Motzei Shabbos, all he ate from it was one kidney. He got on the rest of it, I guess, they would use during the week, or the rest of the family would eat, whatever. Ki gadol avimi brei, when Rabbohu's son Avimi got older, Amalei, he asked Rabbohu, lo malach l'afsudei kulahai, why do you have to waste that much? If you're only eating one kidney of it, why do we have to shech the whole animal Motzei Shabbos? Nishbet kol yosim imal shabsa. Just leave over one kidney from the meat that was prepared for Erev Shabbos, and you'll eat it Motzei Shabbos. Shavkuhu. So that week they tried it. They left that kidney. But also auya achle, and a lion came and ate it. So they ate actually the calf that they would have shechted Motzei Shabbos. So like Hashem showed them by that, you're not really gaining anything because like this, the point is the food from a lava malka ideally should be fresh. It shouldn't just be Shabbos leftovers. So now the Gemara is going to digress a little bit from Shabbos to talk about Oman Yehei Shmei Rabba. What's the connection? So it's not so clear in our Gemara, but there is something that the Bala Turim brings on the Pasuk Bereshis Bara Elikim that when a person says Oman Yehei Shmei Rabba, it's considered as if he became a partner to Hashem in Maisi Bereshis, because we see Oman Yehei Shmei Rabba has in it 7 words, Yehei Shmei Rabba Mubarak Olam Al Omei Omaya, and 28 letters. And the Pasuk Bereshis also has the same thing, 7 words and 28 letters. So there's an association between saying Yehesh Me Rabbah and Bereshis Bara Elokim. So therefore, that might be why the Gemara is bringing it in over here, because we said before about a person says Vayicholu, he becomes like a partner to Hashem in Maisa Bereshis. And the same thing, when a person says Yehesh Me Rabbah, same thing. So Amr Bishoban Levi, Kola Oina Omen Yehesh Medabam Varach Bachol Koichoi, a person answers Omen Yehesh Medabam Varach with all their strength. Rashi says it means with their whole kavana. In Shulchan Aruch it also says it means you should say it loud, although not too loud that people are going to make fun of you. And Marsha says also a deeper meaning of it is you say it in a way to give koyach to Hashem, so to speak. Like you're recognizing the koyach of Hashem and trying to strengthen that. So that person does that. Koren like Gzardinai. It Hashem rips up his Gzardin. Shenema, as the Pasuk says, Bifroya Prois Bisrael, when Prois means disturbances or punishments, Meloshim Puronus, Bifroya can mean to be Mevatel them. Rashi brings, for example, you have the word Kiporuahu in Parshas Tisisa, which means bottle. So Bifroya Prois Bisrael, when the punishments or the disturbances among Yisrael are cancelled, why is that? Bisnadiv Om, Baruch Hashem, is when the people volunteer to bless Hashem, meaning when they say Yehesh Meirabah. My timer, Bifroya Prois, why are the Gzeiros this battle? Mishum de Baruch Hashem, because they blessed Hashem with Yehesh Meirabah. It doesn't use the word Paruah over there, I don't think. No. Okay. Rav Chiya ba'Aba Omer Rav Yechon, and afilu yesh ba'shemetz shalav adazor ha'mechon lai. Also, if a person says Yehesh Meirabah v'chol koichai, even if there's a vestige of avadazor on him, then meaning not actual avadazor, I guess, but like he does a little bit, like somehow involved with avadazor ha'mechon lai, then also Hashem forgives him for it. Why? Ksiv hacha b'freya prois, uchtiv asim kiparuahu. That same pasuk in Shmos, kiparuahu, which we just said means bottle, so it means also it's associated with Avodah Zarah. Ki paruahu, Moshe saw the people that they were paruah, that they were wild. Ki froy Aaron, that Aaron helped them become wild. So now we can understand the pasuk. Bifroya prois, when prois, which is associated with Avodah Zarah, is bifroya, when it's bottle. Why is that? It's not Devam, Baruch Hashem, because the people volunteered to bless Hashem by saying Yehesh Meirabah. Amr Ishlokish, Kala Oina Amen, Bechol Koichai Peichsum Lashare Gan Eden. The person answers Amen with all his strength, the gates of Gan Eden are opened up for him. Shenema, Pischu Sha'arim, as the Pasuk says, open up the gates, V'yavai Goy Tzadik Shomer Amunim, let the righteous nation come in, the ones who guard faithfulness, Al Tikri Shomer Amunim, Ela Sha'omnim Amen. Those who answer Amen. In fact, Maharsha says the word Shomer over here doesn't just mean, it's not just that we're darshaning Shomer as if it said She'omer, but also Shomer, besides that it means to guard, can also mean to wait for. So the person waits for and answers Amen at the proper time. Like Va'aviv Shomer as a Dover means that Yaakov was waiting for Yosef's dreams to come true. So the word Shomer. Well, no. Shomer as a dove means that Rashi says on the pasuk that even the tzapa, he's looking forward to when it's going to come true. So the word shomer can mean to look forward and to wait for something. Okay. My amen, what is the meaning of amen? Amen Rav Chanina, Keil Melech Naaman. It represents that Hashem is the king, the Hashem, the king who is faithful. One, there's many, many meanings of that, of course. One point is, Maharsha says, we call Hashem Kael in davening sometimes. We call him Melech sometimes. Now, the word Kael and the word Melech are sometimes used of other things as well. Kael sometimes is also used for Avodah Zarah. Melech, there are human kings as well. So we say, Naaman, Hashem is the only one who reliably can be called that. Like, those names truly belong to him, and they're really only used of other things by transference. Getting back to Shabbos, Amr of Yehuda Breidir of Shmuel Meshmeidir Ab, Einad Leika Matsuya Elav Makam Shesh Chilul Shabbos. Fires are common only in a place where there's Chilul Shabbos. Shenema, as the Pasuk says, Yirmiyah says to the Jewish people, V'im lois tishmu elai l'kadosh asiyem ha-Shabbos, if you don't listen to me to make the day of Shabbos holy, or l'vilti seis ma'asav b'ema, not to carry burdens on Shabbos, the pasuk continues, V'tzati eish b'shoreah, I will light a fire in the gates of Yerushalayim, V'ochla amenes Yerushalayim, it will consume the palaces of Yerushalayim, V'lois sichbe, and it will not go out. So my veloisi, but what does that last part mean? It will not go out. It means the fire will break out at a time when there's when nobody is able to put it out. Because Shabbos, so in other words, so we're talking about, even though now you have to realize, Yumi is telling these people not to be Mechal Shabbos. But in other words, there's different levels of Chilul Shabbos. These people weren't doing all 39 Malachas. They were being a little careless with the Malacha of carrying, because the Malacha grew up, or maybe they were carrying in Carmelis, which is only also Drabanan or whatever, but still, but to actually go and put out a fire on Shabbos, that they wouldn't do. So therefore, he's telling them, so therefore, because, but because you're being Mechal Shabbos on your level, therefore the fire is going to break out on Shabbos when nobody's going to be able to put it out. So that's the Veloy Sikha. Amar Abaya, so in this connection, Abaya says, Leichorva, Yerushalayim, El B'Shvir Shechil Lo Ba'as HaShabbos. Yerushalayim was destroyed because, only because there were Mechal Shabbos in it. Shenema, Umishabsoi say, Ha'alimuay Nehem, Yechezkel says, he gives a long catalog of Averis that the Jewish people did, but then the one of the last ones he mentions is, They hid their eyes from my Shabbos, and I was disgraced in their eyes, and therefore there was a punishment. In fact, the next plus continues that a fire representing the Goyim who destroyed Yerushalayim is going to come and destroy them. So therefore, so we see that it was associated specifically with Chilul Shabbos. Rabbi Bahu says, and now Marsha points out, we're going to have a lot of different reasons the Gemara is going to bring why Yerushalayim was destroyed. They're not actually arguing with each other. Each one is giving a different reason. In fact, Marsha says you're going to have seven reasons representing the 7 days of the week and the seven midas. Each one is talking on a different level why Yerushalayim was destroyed. So from the point of view of Shabbos, it's because they were Mechal Shabbos. From the point of view of Sunday, it's going to be the next thing. From the point of view of Monday, it was another thing, etc. So Amar Abba Bahu, Leichorva Yerushalayim El B'Shvil Shabitlu Kriyash Mashachas V'Avis, because they stopped saying Shema in the morning and the evening. Shenema, Hoy Mashkimei B'Boker, as the Pasuk says in Yeshaya, woe to those who wake up early in the morning, and instead of saying Shema, Sheikho Yudhoyful B'Gemer, they start running around looking for beer to drink. And then that same passage continues. In the evening they stay up late and they're drinking wine. So we see in the morning and the evening they're busy drinking rather than saying Kriyat Shema. And the next passage continues. They have harps and violins and drums and flutes. And they have wine by their parties. They don't look at the works of Hashem, meaning they don't pay attention to realize that they have to at some point say that Hashem is the one Hashem who rules over and controls everything, which is what we do when we say Shema. So therefore, so we see that they're not saying Shema Shachas Ravis. And the next passage continues. Therefore, my people went into Golas without knowing, because they don't know to realize that Hashem runs the world, and they have to say Krishna. Yerushalayim was destroyed because they were vatal to Tinoikos Rabbeis Rabban. They didn't have them go to school. They didn't have go to cheder to learn Torah. Shenema, shfoich al oila b'chutz v'emer. The passage says, pour it out on the child outside. That means pour it out, meaning the anger of Hashem. Matam shfoich. Why is the anger of Hashem poured out? Mishum da oila b'chutz, because the kids are outside instead of in cheder learning Torah. Yerushalayim was destroyed, says Ula, because they were not embarrassed of each other when they did Avedis. Shenema, as the pasuk says, Hey Vishu, you should be embarrassed, Kisa Eva also, because they did disgusting things. But the problem is, they're not even embarrassed of the Avedis they do. At least the person is embarrassed of the Avedis they do, then at least it's a start to being able to do Tshuva. But they don't do that, then yet. Yerushalayim was destroyed because they made the small and the great equal. They didn't understand that there are greater people that you have to respect them, and chachamim, other people, whatever. They everybody's equal. Equal rights for everybody. Yeah. As the pasuk says, the regular people will be like the koyin. And the next pasuk continues, the land is going to be emptied out. Yerushalayim was destroyed because they didn't give toichacha, they didn't give musar one to another to get them to stop doing averus. Shenema, as the pasuk says in Eicha, hoyu sareya ka'ayolim le'matzu mira. Her princes of Yerushalayim were like deer that could not find a place to graze. Now, my aisle there, Rosh Shoshoshoshoshoshoshoshoshoshoshoshoshoshoshoshoshoshoshoshoshoshoshoshoshoshoshoshoshoshoshoshoshoshoshoshoshoshoshoshoshoshoshoshoshoshoshoshoshoshoshoshoshoshoshoshoshoshoshoshoshoshoshoshoshoshoshoshoshoshoshoshoshoshoshoshoshoshoshoshoshoshoshoshoshoshoshoshoshoshoshoshoshoshoshoshoshoshoshoshoshoshoshoshoshoshoshoshoshoshoshoshoshoshoshoshoshoshoshoshoshoshoshoshoshoshoshoshoshoshoshoshoshoshoshoshoshoshoshoshoshoshoshoshoshoshoshoshoshoshoshoshoshoshoshoshoshoshoshoshoshoshoshoshoshoshoshoshoshoshoshoshoshoshoshoshoshoshoshoshoshoshoshoshoshoshoshoshoshoshoshosh one animal's head faces the next one's tail. Like, all they see is the tail. They don't see the rest of the body. The same way the Jewish people at that time were hiding their face in the ground, and they're not giving Musa one to another. Yerushalayim was destroyed because they made fun of Talmid Chachamim in it. Even as the pasuk says in Divrei Yomim, they were mocking the messengers of Hashem. Malachi Elokim means the Nevi'im, but the Gemara is understanding it here to mean the Talmid Chachamim. They were mocking his words, and they were harassing and then making fun of his Nevi'im. Ad alois chamas Hashem ba'amar, ad la'ein marpe, until Hashem's anger came up against his people to the point where there was no healing it. So we see, in other words, Nevi'im I mentioned later in the pasuk. So the Malachi Elokim has to be the Talmid Chachamim. My ad la'ein marpe. What does that last word mean? Until there's no healing. A person who makes fun of Talmid Chachamim, there's no healing for his wound, because, in other words, like this, how is he even going to improve? If he makes fun of Talmid Chachamim, then who is he going to learn from to do the right thing? Who are the Meshichai and the Nevi'ai of that pasuk? That means the Tinokas Rabbi Shabban. Now, why are they called Meshichai? Rashi explains, because they used to smear oil on the kids, like to protect them from the sun or whatever. Marsha says also because the word Meshicha sometimes is used for like when you're starting out somebody in a job. Like you anoint the Kohenim, for example, when they're starting out and their job is Kohenim. So the same way, these kids are starting out in their lives as Jews, learning Torah. So they're Meshichai. Over Nevi'ai out today, Eilu Talmid Chachamim means the Talmid Chachamim. The world only continues to exist only because of the breath of children who are learning Torah and Cheder. Why dafka them? What about, for example, you and I learn Torah? Why doesn't that keep the world going? Amalei tells him, because it's not comparable, the breath that has Averis in it, where after all, we're adults, we're capable of doing Averis, versus the breath that has no Avera in it, where children are below the age, where their Averis are punishable. So therefore, their breath is purer than that even of the adults. Okay, we'll stop over here and we'll continue tomorrow, Be'ez Hashem, 5:30, Shabbos afternoon. Shkoyach, everyone.